Who in here has never given a prophetic word before? Don't be afraid. Oh, boy, I'm fixing to pick on you, aren't I? Anybody here never given a prophetic word? Okay. Who else? Back there? Okay. Let's do this. Because you're about to. Remember, it happens. Risk. Don't. You're not going to levitate off the floor. You're going to get impressions and some thoughts, like you. That was a, and you just go for it. And don't make it. And it's not any weirder than you might think it is. Okay. Don't make it weird. Alrighty. So. Y'all don't mind me putting you on the spot, some, do you? All right. I want you to do this. I want you to. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Blue? Mine too. So I want you to, when you think about blue, what are the things that you think about? And I want you to speak that into his life as a prophetic word. Just speak it into his life. When you think about blue, what do you think about? That's a word for him.
When I think of the color blue?
Mm-hmm. But speak this to him.
I think of, when I see the color blue, I sense a feeling of truth, joy, happiness. And a sense of peace that comes through this vision.
Okay. Now, what would that, how would that translate to him? That would translate, Justin, that Justin has great joy when he discovers truth. I bet that's true about you, isn't it? He loves the discovery of truth. He brings great happiness. He loves truth, and when he finds truth, okay? So you learn how to interpret what you're getting, but you just gave a prophetic word to a brother. And God just affirmed his heart, just encouraged him.
But it came from my thoughts.
There you go. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. It sounds a lot like your voice. You know, God speaks to us usually in first-person personal pronouns. You know, I think I'd like to go over and talk to that person about Jesus.
That's like when I ask my kids, what does Jesus sound like? My kids will say, it sounds like my dad. It sounds like me. Because that's what they're used to doing.
Come here, Anna and Jonathan, come here. I wanted to just show you some stuff. You understand? So what I'm trying to do is, it's very naturally supernatural. And usually it starts off stuff like that. And so we'll use these prophetic games as to teach people, wow, I can trust God. Didn't he say, how much more will he give the things of the Spirit to those who ask him?
Well, I asked God after you told me to do this, I asked God, I said, Lord, give me the words to speak.
Yeah, and he did. And it spoke a word into his life. And I just simply prompted you. Think of the color. What's your favorite color? Describe it and speak that as a word into his life. It really is that simple. That can get more complicated and cool and stuff. Yes, but it really starts off that simple. That's how we all learn, right, kids? So give a word to her.
See this great sense of joy over you, and I think that the Lord is going to take you into a deeper level and understanding of that, and how you can get more joy out of him.
Amen. Amen. There you go. That's probably a pretty good coincidence, huh? What you got, Anna?
I saw a picture of clear water, and God said that he's using this conference to bring clarity to confusion and fear.
Praise the Lord. That is a powerful one.
Isn't that cool? See, see, both of you, she prayed with that, she talked about that, so both of these kids got it right on. But you know what they've done? They've been practicing. You know, we give them opportunities to move in the prophetic, and they do it a lot. Our youth group, Roxanne back there is our youth pastor, she's also the principal of our school, and our youth group just rocks in the spirit. I mean, they just minister prophetically. They pray. They're awesome. And that's normal. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Here's the problem for my clergy. If old men stop dreaming dreams, then young men will stop having vision. And your sons and daughters will stop prophesying. But old men get scared to dream dreams. When we were younger, we dreamed all kind of big dreams about stuff. But when we get older, it's safer not to. And my prayer is that my dreams will just get bigger, and I'll take more risk, and we'll just get crazier. And I'm in the holy sense of the word. And it's a journey for all of us. But it is one of the things that happens in the prophetic as well as healing. I was praying for Barb, her hearing, when we were just in Africa. I know Dan and Deborah, I'll get them to tell some stories tomorrow too. They were in Africa, but we went this last conference, this trip I went on with the head of the CC, and it really wasn't meant to be a ministry trip. It wasn't, but it was a good trip. There were things we needed to do, and it was more of an administrative trip, that kind of thing. But whenever there was a squeaky opportunity, man, you go for it. And so we were sitting in this big service on Sunday morning in Bishop Sakawa's church in Mwanza. There must have been, Ron, how many people does that church hold? Maybe 300, 400 maybe? And there was probably 200-300 people outside looking in. And so Sakawa just comes over to me and Bishop Bates. He said, so when are you guys going to do ministry? And we're like, because that would take forever. And our schedule, we did 16 flights in 15 days, so it really wasn't, it was nutty. And so Bishop Bates said, hey, when you want to do this thing? When you want to do it, before Eucharist or after? And I said, we'll do it. I forget what I told him. He said, well, we'll just get people to line up. I said, look, if you try to create teams, we don't have that many, we'll be here till tomorrow. I said, let's just do a group thing, so it happens. So we just did this group thing, and here's like words of knowledge and healings. Here's how gifts can flow together. So a word of knowledge is, I let some team members do a few things, and finally the Lord said, I want you to call up anybody who's blind or deaf. Like, so you're like going, you know, well, actually, years ago more, I would have gone, you're kidding me. My boss is watching, you know, my boss is watching all these people, blind or deaf. You meant like headaches, right, Lord, headache, you know, I got a headache here. And so I just said, again, man, here's blind or deaf. And there was a few people like in one ear, I forget what it was. And then one lady stood up. She was probably in her early 70s. Somebody had gotten her to stand up. And she was towards the back. And she was totally deaf. She had been deaf since she was little. Not since birth, but since she was little. So Bishop Sakel, when I walked back there, and she's standing in the aisle, and just like this, I just, because we don't have a lot of time, so I just said, in Jesus' name, what I prayed. And then like that, she went, and she was totally healed. So it makes it easier to believe in healing when somebody deaf gets healed. It makes it easier to believe in prophetic when somebody gets two words and they're both, one she's been praying for, the other one they've been talking about. These holy coincidences.
Affirmation.
And what you spoke was affirming to who he is. He loves truth. He loves to discover truth. He's a student of truth, and he gets excited about truth. Alrighty, who? Alrighty.
Well, I might have said that I hadn't, and I actually may have.
Okay.
I'm not sure because I write down things in journals.
Well, you probably have for sure.
I actually have gotten something from my sons at times.
Oh, yeah. I think moms a lot get prophetic stuff because God gives them things. They pray into their children's lives sometimes for years.
And I hear things and I write them down.
Amen.
Sometimes they just sit there.
Let's take it out for a spin anyway. Let's just see something, okay? So this is my dear friend, Jennifer. And so what's your favorite cereal? Honey Bunches of Oats. So I want you to look at her and talk about, what are your favorite things about Honey Bunches of Oats?
That suits you. my favorite things would be a sweetness. And there are different textures. There are different layers to that sweetness. and for you, I just see God opened up for you. He's giving you those different textures because he's bringing your power out the time. And you and I talked a minute ago, and I believe that he's going to take some of those things from you and replace them in your heart. He will be your husband to you. Just as it says, and is it Ezekiel where it says?
Did he tell you this earlier?
Yes.
What a coincidence.
Yes. As he prayed for me.
Did you say that
at Eucharist?
Oh, that's, there you go.
Pray for me at Eucharist. It's the same words.
Cha-ching.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
See, but you've got to go for it. You've got to give an opportunity for it to happen. The layers about Jennifer's an amazing person, and the sweet thing that there's...
I have doubts about the sweet part.
Yeah, Ron is not sure.
Oh.
About Jennifer's also... Jennifer has... she's a PhD. She's a PhD nurse. That's layers. Isn't that crazy? Was there somebody else never having given a prophetic word? Do you want to go for it? Oh, you're picking on people. Don't just pick on them.
This is fun. Let's
hear it. Let's put somebody else on the spot. Well, it's like 10, almost 10 to 4. We'll do this some more. So I'm going to spare you for a moment. But come up here, Roxanne. You kids want to come back? Do some more. You want to come, Ab? Yay.
She came over. She
wanted
it. She came over.
Oh, good. So we'll go ministry for prophetically a little bit. Is that okay? And then we'll get to do this with each other some. I don't know what hour at night we're going to do some stuff, but we're going to play some too. So just be open to whatever God's going to do.
Okay.
The word manifestation, one of the ways that word original can be translated is the dancing hand of God. The Holy Spirit's like the dancing hand of God. So we're just going to let the dancing hand of God do some stuff at nights. And but Roxanne is my niece. And so the force is strong in our family. She's an amazing, emerging, prophetic person. So I wanted her to come up here and these kids too. Let's just go for some stuff. All righty? Kind of like Jiffy Pop words. Yeah.
It sounds like
scariest. Oh, well, all the sign gifts are scary. It's scary to, say, is there any blind or deaf people here so I can pray for you in front of my boss, the head of the whole denomination? All the, of course it's...
It's so easy for you that you say that.
Huh?
Yeah,
but that's yeah, but that was the prophetic word that I gave. The word of knowledge. That was the words of knowledge and healing. So the fear of the sneer of your peer will keep you from going very far. Okay? You gotta go for it. If you're not willing to look foolish, you're never gonna be faithful. Well, then you got it licked, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody goes through that. Everybody, we've all had to walk that out. And you just go for it, and you fall on your face, you go, oh, okay. That's why you do it in love. And if you do it in love, then you so, and you get up and you go for it again. I've often given words, let me give this one little quick example. I was in Africa one time in Kampala. I've told this story a number of times, but I was speaking to several hundred clergy. And I was given some words of knowledge and some prophetic words and stuff. And I said, there's somebody here named Stephen or Stefan or Stephanie. I was covering my bases. I was trying to guarantee success. I said, God wants to change your life today. Do something to change your life today. And nobody spoke up. I thought, man, that's a little awkward, but it wouldn't go away. So I kept giving that word about five more times. I said, there's somebody here. Nobody spoke up. I said, well... And it wasn't, I didn't mean to be a cop-out. Maybe I just missed it. But I said, I'm going to meet somebody today, Stephen or Stefan or whatever, and God's going to change their life. So then later that evening, we had dinner in this open-air place in Kampala. And I got there a few minutes late, so some of the African elders and bishops and stuff were sitting around. They were already ordering. And as I'm getting closer to where it's sort of a circular little hut-like thing with open sides, and I walk up, and the waiter, they're talking later, and they go, "Well, thank you, Stephen." I walk in, I said, "Your name's Stephen?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Stephen, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes." And they're all standing here watching this, and they said, "Yeah." I said, "Like, born again Christian?" He said, "No, not born again." I said, "Would you like to get born again?" He said, "I would like to get born again." So he prayed to receive Christ right there. And we got through eating. We couldn't get Stephen anymore to help us because he was in the kitchen witnessing to everybody who worked there. Mark, you were there. Mark was there. Remember that, Mark? That same meeting, I said, "There's somebody here." This is just a fun story. I see, I've done a terrible job. I haven't written down a lot of stories. I was thinking about like workings of miracles and stuff. And because I don't write down stories, and my memory's not, it's too much, it's a lot more fun out to memorize everything. So the good goes out with the bad. I had this word, I said, "There's somebody here, your name is Mark, or your name is, or maybe there's somebody here, the pastor of St. Mark's." And I said, "You've got diabetes issues and you're depressed and whatever." This guy stands up and he says, "My name's Father Mark. My church is St. Mark's. And I have diabetes and I'm depressed." And he got healed. I saw him years later and he got healed. Mark was in that meeting too. That was a fun meeting. All right, go for it. I'm sorry. I get yeah, I can tell the story. Amen.
The lady next to Rosemary, I have a review, and I just saw like a dam built up with water behind it, and I just saw as this weekend, as you just enter into this weekend, I just saw that wall of water breaking, and it's just like a rush of water from the inside out. And the Lord said that he was really going to do some flooding in you from the inside out, meaning that there's just some areas in your life that the Lord really wanted to not only to touch, restore, but just fill up and overflow. So as you walk out from here, as you go out from here, you're just spilling over and overflowing what the Lord's doing in you to other people around you.
Father Mark Johnson. That's good. Abby. Purple jacket? Oh, yeah. Amen. Encouragement, exhortation, consolation. That's a really cool word. And Abby's really gifted too. Abby's 14? Is that right? Did I get that right? I better get that right, hadn't I? Almost 15. Yeah, really 15, we'll say. Yeah. Right. Anna? Michael Berry. Amen. Who's this for? Cindy?
I just really heard the Lord say that you've so honored him. And I just hear him say there's a blessing coming your way. And for you not to put your eyes on what's in front of you in the natural, but really hold on to God's word for you. And that to keep it before you and not let the enemy just throw distractions in your way. But I just heard the Lord say that there's just reward for honor coming your way.
Amen. We'll go for it again tonight. Okay, we'll do this off and on because this is part of who we are. So I'll tell you one little fun more story, then we'll leave. This is Mark Johnson's story. Mark, I appreciate that. And one of the reasons, so I would ask you, you know, I pray for you. We prayed for you. I would ask you to pray for me. One of the things that you would pray is, Lord, cause Bishop to steward well the office of a prophet, that he won't back away from that. It's just a lot of work and can be very distracting. Because it brings a lot of warfare. Here's a story of warfare that Mark and I experienced. And I know it was because of, not just because of who, as a bishop, because of the prophetic stuff. Because we were moving a lot of prophetic on that trip. It's the same trip. So we fly into Kampala together. So we get to the airport. And at the airport, they take us into the VIP part. And then there are cameras there from all the television stations in Uganda wanting to ask me questions about Joseph Kony. I don't know if you know who Joseph Kony was. He was a famous, he's still not dead, rebel that killed a gazillion people, took a lot of child soldiers. And they're asking me these questions about Joseph Kony. But the biggest issue for us was is that somebody put a contract out on my life. And the government took it seriously enough that they assigned one of their secret service agents, plainclothes secret service agents, to,
Isaac,
to be with me at all times. So we get to the airport. It's about a 45-minute to an hour drive from the airport to into Kampala and from Entebbe. And so it's a funny story, a fun story, but just one of the reasons that it's easy for me just to let it go. Because the office of a prophet has been the most costly thing I've ever had to walk in relations and in stuff, because prophecy, people are scared of prophecy and all that kind of stuff. And so somebody puts on, put on the internet one time, this was years ago, just one of the, I don't know why I looked at it, I shouldn't have, I got interested in it, and they were just talking about stuff, and this guy was, I don't even know who, lived somewhere else in the country, talking about me and about the prophetic. He just brought up Chuck Jones and this, that, and the other. And some guy answered it, who I didn't know. He said, well, you know, I've read his stuff. He's got a lot of things right. And the guy's answer was, well, even blind squirrels can find a nut every once in a while. So I'm the blind squirrel prophet. So we're in a, hurt my feelings. I'll tell you the interesting thing about prophets. They're very sensitive, and they can get their feelings hurt real easy. Even the ones who come across real strong and bold, they can get hurt real easy. If they're rejected, that's just part of the warfare. So you kind of got to just fight through that stuff. And anyway, they put a contract on us. So when we get to the airport, there are two trucks and a car. There's a truck in front of us, a pickup truck, with like two or three guys. Mark, was it two, three, four guys with AK-47s in the back, and then a truck behind us with three or four guys with AK-47s, and then Isaac, the plainclothes Secret Service agent, with me and Mark in the car with them. And they drive us from Entebbe to Kampala, which is usually a long drive because of traffic, but all the sirens are on the whole time getting us to the hotel. And it was a real deal. And we think God showed us who it was. It was a lady working behind the desk that had been paid to kill me. But they stood guard at my door. But she came up the hall. Remember, Mark? She came up the elevator, but then she saw Isaac and left. So we think that's who it was. But we were in those trucks. And so this is the sanguine in me, the little child part in me. So I'm thinking, these people are taking it even more seriously, you know? And they had guards when we did that ministry in that hotel with us, gave those words I was telling you about the next day. But the sirens, and so it's like, this is the biggest thing in the world. And I'm thinking, these people are taking this really seriously. The government assigned somebody to me because they want me to get killed. And you know, I don't know what we're going to be facing. I'm just doing public ministry while I'm going to be here, yada, yada. That all these sirens are going on. We got all these people protecting us. We're in this big old car. And I'm thinking, Shazam, this is the coolest thing in the whole world. I mean, one of my friends in high school could see me now, buddy. So you need to pray that the Shazam thing will be residential in my life, because it's hard. So you don't need to be afraid of that. I mean, there may be somebody here who's called to the office of a prophet, but, you know, but we're talking about mainly the ministry, the gifting of the prophet. But I want you to know the difference. And what I do most of the time when I do prophetic stuff is the ministry. But I know that God wants me to be more faithful to the other. It's just that you pray for me about that. It's because the Shazam wears off pretty fast. The doghouse that a prophet can be in is a really small doghouse, and it's hard to get out of it. All righty. Well, it's 4:02. I want you to go get some rest. And have you enjoyed yourself so far? Has it been good?
Yes.
And it's really cool watching. You've given a prophetic word, and don't doubt it. See, one of the things, I like one of my favorite movies, I don't know why it's one of my favorite movies, is The Last Samurai. And there's a point in The Last Samurai, so this is a prophetic word for some of you, okay? And there's a prophetic word where Tom Cruise is trying to learn how to do the sword thing, and he keeps getting killed in practice. And finally, Katsumoto's son runs up to him, and he says, "Too many minds." He went, "What?" He says, "Too many minds. Your mind is thinking about this. Your mind's watching this." He said, "No minds. No minds." See, one of the things we're going to do tonight, if you have never been baptized in the Spirit, you will get that tonight. If you've never released a prayer language, that will happen tonight. Because the Scripture says I was one of the worst ones about prayer language. Livia was flowing at stuff because too many minds. I finally got something, and I've listened to myself. I thought, that's not God. And I paid attention. I was like listening to myself like I'm praying to myself. And I finally saw it. I actually had to go out into the woods one day and spend a few days. And the Lord said, you asked me for something. All of a sudden, these syllables came into your head. And they didn't make any sense. And because they don't make any sense, you can't figure it out. You won't let it flow. But you asked me for something. If your father being evil know how to give good gifts to children, how much more will I, your good father, give the things of the Spirit to those who ask him? And I just began to speak it out. And it just began to flow like a river. But I got these few little words, Sudamaka. And I would walk around the house because but I couldn't get it out of my head. And I would tell, if it's not the Lord. Yes, it's the Lord. No, it's not the Lord. Because I'm very analytical. I'm a teacher. So teachers want to figure out everything. And so I'd go into the bathroom at night and just whisper, Sudamakasa. She said, "I don't hear you." I'm going, "It's not God." We went through that for 2 weeks. I drove her crazy. It says 1 Corinthians 14, when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. We Westerners are scared to death to no minds. You with me? Too many minds. That's true about the whole things of the Spirit. Stop figuring it out. Just be obedient to Scripture and go for it. But I would say to you, my brother, that's a prophetic word, no minds. You know what I'm saying? You can't. The one thing about a centipede, if a centipede was worried about which leg went first, he'd never go anywhere. And introspection will freeze you. No minds. Okay? Alrighty. See y'all in about 3 hours.
Okay.
7:00. Come prepared to worship your hearts out, okay?